Welcome to Haunt House, the podcast that goes bump in the night.
Welcome back to Haunt Heads, the podcast that goes bump in the night. I'm your host, Janine Mercer, and I am joined here by Mimi Steven, who is asleep.
Hello, everybody. I forgot who I was for a second. We are back.
Sometimes you wish you could forget who you were.
Well, it's one of those days, I guess.
It is absolutely one of those days. And this weekend, it is supposed to be miserable, heat-wise.
Yes.
Not snow-wise, thankfully, but heat-wise.
It is. Luckily, I'll be inside working on the house.
Well, as long as you have air conditioning, you should be fine.
Oh, actually, no. Saturday, I'm shopping with my mom.
but you're still going to be in air conditioning, though.
Right.
So it'll be fine.
Only outside for just a few seconds from walking to the car in the store. So.
Proper thing.
Absolutely.
All right, so the beginnings of these episodes, we have been trying to come up with conversation starters. So this week, what do you have, Mimi, as a conversation starter?
Well, why don't you tell me what made you laugh this week?
What made me laugh this week? I don't think anything really made me laugh this week, like hardcore laugh.
Oh, I mean, that's sad.
I mean, I was watching, before you got here, I was watching When a Stranger Calls,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, it kind of made me chuckle a little bit because it's just so ridiculous. And What's-Her-Face is in there with the speech impediment. What is her name? That actress's name? In When a Stranger Calls? The original one from like the 1970s, something or other?
With a speech impediment? I have no idea.
She has like some sort of weird speech, yeah. I don't know if she actually has a speech impediment or not, but it just, when she says certain things, certain words, they just sound weird to me.
Really, but, don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, I chuckled at that.
Okay.
That was a little funny, haha.
Alright.
How about you?
Well, yesterday I was having lunch with my mother and my son, and we were having this in-depth conversation about something, and Mom asked me a question just as I was raising my glass of water to drink it. And whenever I drink, I like to have a straw. So I'm looking at her, and we're intently talking, and I went, donk, with a straw right in my eye.
Oh.
And that was really funny. We all just stopped looking, or stopped talking, and just looked at each other and laughed. So hard.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that was really actually funny. Guess you had to be there, but it was really funny.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah, honestly, I think that that was the only thing for me that, like, made me chuckle. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you need to have more laughter in your life.
I do. I mean, sometimes I make fun of people because I, you know, I'm the kind of person that likes to pick on my friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know that I like you, is when I pick on you. So I gently torture my friends to show my affection for them. And I might have made jokes at their expense, but other than that, maybe that made me laugh. I don't know. I'm not nearly as stoic as I sound on this podcast. Far less stoic than you would imagine. So let's see here. Now, I went first last time, and I went first the time before that.
Well, I guess it's my turn to go first.
You cheated. I'm pretty sure you cheated.
I think
okay.
I did, but
it's okay.
It wasn't like I really meant to do it.
I'll let it slide this time.
All right.
This time.
So this time, we're going to take a little journey to Green Lake, Wisconsin, and we're going to Dartford Cemetery. Supposedly, it's haunted. Let's see. I'm a little out of order here. It was, okay, so the cemetery was built, I guess, in the early 1800s. But in 1911, there was an Indian chief by the name of Chief Hynacker, which is such an odd name. Anyway, so this chief was apparently swimming from the location of the cemetery across Green Lake to another part of Green Lake, which was sacred land, which the Indians, you know, revered.
Mm-hmm.
And he drowned while he was swimming. Oh. And apparently in the cemetery, there's a headstone with his picture on it. But he's said to roam there. People have seen apparitions of Civil War era soldiers that marched through the cemetery late at night, but I couldn't find anything to tell me more about the soldiers.
Well,
so that was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
But I guess people go and they put flowers mm-hmm. on the soldiers' graves, which I think is really nice.
Yeah, that's the, you know, we were talking about this a little bit off air last time, but it's really unfortunate that a lot of these stories don't really have any significant roots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really easy to create a podcast about paranormal instances, but it's very hard to make it last an hour.
Right.
because all of these stories, you know, they're good stories and they have a lot of good information, but you really, I mean,
you have questions digging. You want answered,
it's,
and you want to know the deeper stuff and the background information of the people that are involved.
Right.
And it's hard to find, and I'm not really good on the computers, but...
you could be if you wanted.
Well, I'm working at it. So people have also seen shadow figures and heard strange noises and have seen... lighted up orbs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's said to be a grave of a child set inside a mausoleum, a really big mausoleum.
Okay.
And I've heard this story before in places. I guess it's like an urban legend. If you sit
to a friend of a friend who
yes.
<listed it.
laughs> So if you sit on top the mausoleum, you'll get pushed off of it. By supposedly this child. I guess a lot of people have done that, and I've heard about it before.
Yeah.
And the cemetery itself was named for the original settlement that was there.
Okay.
The settlement was called Dartford, but then they later changed it to Green Lake.
Right.
And there are graves that are there all the way back to the early 1800s. And then I was reading further along, and there's a story about Chief Hynacker. And it says that he was supposedly very drunk when he was swimming across the lake in 1911. And again, there's a grave marker with his face on it. And it looks to me like on the grave marker in the picture I saw that his hair was cut really short.
So basically what you're saying is Chief Hynacker was knockered when he was
Very
fun.
Good.
Here all night.
Very good. That was quick. Very good.
I know. That took me no time at all to come back with that.
Yeah.
Usually we stop recording these podcasts and I'm like, oh, shit, I should have said something witty or punny or something right there.
I'm very slow at getting back to things.
Well, hey.
So, and then in 2007, some teenagers decided to go roam the cemetery and they were going to the mausoleum. And while walking through the cemetery, they felt as though they were being followed and watched. And some of the kids saw a shadowy figure of a woman who was kind of floating around the gravestones.
Wee!
Yeah, wee! Okay. And then one teenager was trying to climb onto the top of the mausoleum, but he said that he couldn't because something was pressing down on him and would not let him go up. And after he kept trying for a while, they decided to leave the cemetery.
Huh.
Then in 2009, another group of friends went to the cemetery, and within 20 minutes, two of the females that were in the group got really sick and nauseated. So they left and went back to sit in the car, and the other three people were walking amongst this the headstones, and they went near the mausoleum, not on, but near, and they heard a woman's voice. So they were looking around. It happened that these were three men, and they didn't have any women with them at the time because they were back in the car being sick.
Yep.
And they didn't know where the voice came from, and they looked around, and they couldn't find anybody, so no one was there. So then, as they're kind of walking around, they're hearing footsteps. And the footsteps sound like they're getting closer and closer, and they look around, and nobody's there. They decided to leave. They never went back to the mausoleum, but they decided to leave, and they returned home, and they looked at their photos, and there was a picture at the entrance to the cemetery. There's like this, what would you call it, an archway entrance. Right. And it was a clear night. It wasn't foggy or anything, but in the picture, it was very, very foggy. Mm. And there was a evil type face in the fog. So that kind of creeped them out. But while I was reading... Oh, sorry.
It makes you wonder, because that's... In the last episode, too, you talked about seeing a face.
Right.
An evil face. And I wonder how much of that is, you know, like... just your mind finding shapes.
Right. Well, I looked at the picture. I didn't see a face, but...
Yeah.
You know, it's a picture on a computer screen, so...
Right.
You know, you can't always make things out what...
Yeah, yeah. But it seems to be a common thread, like a common theme throughout a lot of paranormal stories.
Yeah.
You know, based on firsthand paranormal experiences, that you see some sort of a face or some sort of a figure... And then I actually think that they do this on Ghost Hunters, or they have done this on Ghost Hunters, where they let people get there on their own before they say anything. Because essentially what you do is you taint any information that they could give you, because if you say, well, I see an evil face, then somebody else will be like, oh, yeah, I totally see that. Well, where are the eyes? Yeah, the eyes are right here.
Right. You know,
so... Yeah, but that's it's just really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. That's good. All right. So while I was reading more about the cemetery, I found that it was built in, 1847. And it was built on an Indian reserve. And the settlers then traded guns for the land from the Indians. But the Indians didn't seem to realize what they were getting. They didn't get very much guns or anything else. And... Chief Heinacker was very upset about it, and they believed that when he died, that the reason he's still around the cemetery is because he's really mad at the settlers, you know, for what they got, and they were treated, the Indians were treated really horribly. There were a couple tales, again, you know, what's his name?
Heinacker.
I don't know why I can't keep that straight, but so Heinacker was, in one story he was drunk, in one story he just was swimming to get across to the the ancient lands, and in this story, you know, when he died, he was just so angry with the settlers. But with the in regards to the children, there was a story that in the 40s, maybe 50s, that there was a bus of 43 children. They were on a train track, and they got hit by a train, and they died.
Oh.
And so the town built the mausoleum to house all the kids, in memorial to the kids, to all these 43 kids. But that was only one story I read about the mausoleum. So there could be more... little kids in there.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything about a woman.
Hmm.
So I don't know. But I've heard about the mausoleum in the cemetery before, and I thought I'd find a whole lot more. So this one, I was actually kind of disappointed in what I could find.
Yeah.
You know, and I read a couple things, but they were the same. You know, I couldn't find different things. And that's kind of what I'm struggling with, and a lot of things that I'm finding is there's not more.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, for me, you know, if I want to do a story on, you know, like today I'm going to be talking about immurement, which we're going to get to in a second, but I kind of, you know, I kind of have to dig too.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these stories are so popular that it's not as difficult. Whereas, mm-hmm. you know, I greatly admire the fact that you're trying to unearth all of these stories, because otherwise they're not going to get told. You
right.
know, I mean, that, you know, what is the point of having a paranormal podcast if you're not going to find these,
right.
you know, this out of the way information to kind of pull it in, to, you know, make it
right.
make sense to people and let people know that it happened,
right.
you know? So, I mean, you know, I admire that, but yeah, the difficulty, the struggle is real.
Yeah. So I hope, you know, if there's any listeners out there who know more about, the cemetery, I hope you'll,
yeah.
let
mm-hmm.
us know, because I really like to know about the people involved in
yeah,
their history.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you know,
or even personal experiences.
Yeah.
You know, if you went there and you tried to sit on the mm-hmm. mausoleum and got pushed off, or you
right.
felt a cold spot, or you saw an orb, or you saw this
right.
crazy face in like
right.
the fog or something, you know, yeah, let us know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe what we'll do is some of these more out of the way stories, we'll kind of look back on those in kind of like an end of the year thing.
Right.
And see if we find any additional information, and we'll kind of like double team
right.
it.
Sounds good.
And see, yeah, what we find out. And maybe, you know, take a road trip or two
mm-hmm.
and go and sit on the mausoleum and see what happens.
Right.
You know, I'd be interested to find that out. Okay. So, as I said before, I have a story this week about several instances of immurement, which is basically the process of walling somebody up in a confined space. It's sometimes used as a way to strengthen faith in the religious community, or it was used. I don't believe they do it anymore, or I hope to hell that they don't do it anymore, because
yeah.
it's terrible. Or it could be used as a form of punishment. So if somebody did something wrong, you could easily get walled up in a tiny little 2-foot by 2-foot space. And,
yeah.
you know, if the person forgot about you and didn't feed you and whatever, then that was the end of it. So I am assuming that a lot of you guys who are listening know about Elizabeth Bathory, or the Blood Countess.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know anything about her case, she was around, existed around 1610.
Mm-hmm.
She believed in the fact that the blood of local virgins would keep her young forever.
Right.
And if that's the case, if you know anything about Elizabeth Bathory at all, then you already know about immurement, because her punishment was to be sealed in a tower in her castle and left with only a tiny opening for food. I say here, like, very flat food, like pancakes, maybe.
Right.
I don't know. Something flat.
Right.
Because they probably didn't leave much space. Bathory lasted 4 years in her prison, but some who were sentenced to immurement for their crimes or for religious purposes, you know, didn't last long at all. The case of immurement can also be found in literature. For example, Edgar Allan Poe used immurement as a form of punishment several times, but most famously in the cask of Amontillado. Villain Injun Joe meets an accidental and untimely end in The Adventures of Tom Sawyer when he's immured in a cave. Oscar Wilde basically wielded immurement like a club in The Canterville Ghost, and several characters of the Gothic soap opera Dark Shadows, specifically Barnabas Collins. Collins is a vampire that can't die, so his punishment is eternal. He also suffers immurement. Cultural folklore is rife with tales of people being bricked up inside of bridges, behind the walls of ancient castles. It was actually popular at one time to offer something called a foundation sacrifice, or a foundational sacrifice, to ensure the longevity of a structure and to bring good luck to those who would reside within it. So in particular, Greek, British, Scandinavian, German, and many other cultures participated in this practice. If it's any consolation to anybody, the people who were immured were likely put to death prior to this happening, but we can't really be sure, so you never know. Immurement sounds like a cruel and unusual punishment, but there were actually people who elected to be immured, particularly those of the devout of several religions, including monks, nuns, and priests. In some cases, these devout souls would be bricked up along with a small child who was like, they existed as a symbol of innocence and purity to this other person who was being immured. It was not uncommon for nuns to be bricked up for a decade or more with a child companion. This companion was generally an orphan, but sometimes was a gift willingly given by their parents to the Catholic Church.
That's not fair.
So they didn't really get a choice. They were just given to the church. In the case...
That's horrible.
I know, isn't it? It's awful. As was the case with Bathory, the individuals who were immured would receive food from a small slot. But they would never emerge from the chamber. Right. They would just exist in the chamber.
Right.
And there are no records of a child ever surviving immurement.
Even with the nuns?
Even with the nuns, apparently not. Yeah.
That's so sad.
Most notably, in the 4th century AD, a nun named Alexandria was immured for 10 years, a total of 10 years. And St. Jerome wrote of a devout follower who spent his entire life living in a cistern and living on only 5 figs a day. Yeah.
So how long was his entire life?
I don't know. But
I mean, it could be 3 days to,
you know,
80 years.
I mean, like, you know, like I said, if anybody forgot that you were there, I mean,
you wouldn't even get your fix.
You know, yeah, wow. There's nothing. Yeah, you wouldn't even, you know. People were probably like, well, who gives a flying fig about that guy?
Oh.
It wasn't as funny as the last one.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And I got it. It just took me
a while. Let's see here. In terms of punishment, as much as immurement could be used as a faith-strengthening practice, it was also used in the religious community as a punishment. Priests who were found to have committed... pederasty, which is basically having relationships with small children, were sealed in a coffin and suspended inside a tower until they starved. In 1409, 4 clerics in Bavaria were subjected to this form of immurement as church officials felt that the usual punishment of immolation was too merciful. So instead of setting them on fire, they were like, no, we're going to put you in a coffin and nail it closed, and we're going to let you starve to death on the edge of a cliff. So there you go. That's what you get.
Wow.
In the 18th century, the governor of Lebanon, Djezzar Pasha, decided to build a wall that was something both decorative and entertaining around the city of Beirut. I tried to see if this wall still existed, and I couldn't find any information on it, so I don't know if it's still there. Pasha was known to be a cruel and vengeful man, and he captured a large number of Greek Christians and ordered that they be built into the structure that he wanted to create. So their heads protruded from one side, allowing Pasha to watch as they suffered and starved to death.
Wow.
Yeah. In 1906, a cobbler from Marrakesh was convicted of murdering 36 women. And was walled up for his crimes. His screams were heard for 2 days after his immurement, but on the 3rd day, he fell silent.
Wow.
So take that to be what you will. Either he just stopped screaming because nobody was listening, or, like, what is that saying? There's no use complaining because nobody's listening.
Right.
So, yeah. According to Henry Charles Lee, an American historian, civic reformer, and political activist, the cruelty of the monastic system of imprisonment known as in pace or vade in pacem was such that those subjected to it speedily died in all the agonies of despair. In 1350, the Archbishop of Toulouse appealed to King John to interfere for its mitigation, and he issued an ordinance that the superior of the convent should twice a month visit and console the prisoner, who moreover should have the right twice a month to ask for the company of one of the monks. Even this slender innovation provoked the bitterest resistance of the Dominicans and the Franciscans, who appealed to Pope Clement VI, but in vain.
I'm surprised at the Franciscans.
Isn't that something? Yeah, you would think, you know, the Franciscans are supposed to be like all lovey-dovey. Mm-hmm. And yeah, mm-hmm. Apparently not so much. Not back then, anyway. Sir Walter Scott, a Scottish historical novelist, playwright, and poet, notes in a remark to his poem Marmion, 1808, "It is well known that the religious who broke their vows of chastity were subjected to the same penalty as the Roman Vestals in a similar case. A small niche sufficient to enclose their bodies was made in a massive wall of the convent. A slender pittance of food and water was deposited in it, and the awful words, Vade and Pace, were the signal for immuring the criminal. It's not unlikely that, in later times, this punishment was often resorted to, but among the ruins of the Abbey of Coldingham, where there were some years ago discovered the remains of a female skeleton, which, from the shape of the niche and the position of the figure, seemed to be that of an immured nun." Immurement was also popular in ancient Egypt. If you know anything about ancient Egypt, then you know about immurement. It was often the practice to entomb a deceased king or queen, along with those who served them in life and any pets that they wanted to bring with them, into the afterlife. So they would all just be walled into a huge tomb.
Right.
In some cases, the living sacrifices were drugged prior to being immured with their master. And those people that drugged them were probably the more lenient of, you know, the ones who were just like, well, you're a servant, and this is your lot in life, and too bad. So go.
Right.
You know, get in there.
There was a movie made about that.
Oh, there was?
What was it? The...
I mean, there have been a lot of TV shows and movies that have...
There was a woman who fell in love with the guy, and the guy had to marry a royal person, and then when the servant's master died, she had to go be entombed with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a recent movie, but I don't remember it. I didn't see it. My mom told me about it.
In the 14th century, a Mongol Khan was immured with his servants, wives, and several vessels of drink. In others, as was the case of the widows of a great chief in Africa, legs would be broken prior to being immured. So it totally depended on the person who was handling those last rites. In an effort to ensure a fruitful harvest, during the Festival of the Sun, the ancient Incas would sacrifice animals and hold celebrations lasting 9 days in an effort to thank the gods for providing their bounty. When Christian Spaniards arrived in the 16th century, they attempted to convert the Incas to Catholicism. This was likely due in part to the custom of immuring young women aged 12 or younger inside a waterless cistern as a form of sacrifice to the gods. So they would basically just put them down in the cistern until they died, and then that would be their sacrifice. There were also cases of infanticide. I mean, why, you know, you think, you know, why would anybody immure a newborn? Cases of child immurement were often due to an inability to provide for the infant, or in order to hide the shame that a child might bring to their parents. As we were discussing with...
Like if it was deformed.
Yeah, as we were discussing with the witch house, you know, sealing up a child in the third floor and never allowing them to exit. Also in terms of the monkey face boy in the Lent mansion, you know, never allowed to leave the mansion, never allowed to be seen by anybody. So that was a form of immurement too. Often these children were the offspring of nuns who had become lustful or... perhaps had been raped by monks or priests. Children might also be immured if they came from poverty-stricken families. In most cases, these children were left in abandoned places and not actually fully entombed because, you know, you're an infant. You know, what do you... you can't really run away. There's nothing you can do. As far as cases of immurement on television... you likely have seen the episode of The Simpsons, Last Exit to Springfield, where Mr. Burns relates the story of a worker in his grandfather's power plant. The man is found with atoms in his pockets, And so he's sentenced to immurement.
Oh, I didn't see that one, and I thought I saw all of them.
Yeah. As he's dragged away, Burns discusses labor unions and Japan's economical and industrial prominence. He then remarks, if only we'd listened to that young man instead of walling him up in the abandoned coke oven. On the HBO TV series Oz, a preacher played by Luke Perry is walled up with some inmates, but he's later found by prison officials. In 1984, an episode of Thomas the Tank Engine, Percy is immured in a tunnel for refusing to leave during a rainstorm. I think it had something to do with he didn't want to ruin his nice green paint. He'd just been painted or something like that. It was pretty tame because, you know, it's for kids.
Right.
So, yeah, it couldn't be too bad. On the HBO TV series Game of Thrones, Doria and Zero Zohan Daxus are sealed in an empty vault in Daxus' villa after betraying Daenerys and attempting to steal her dragons. Oh. Shit, I would have done that too. Somebody tried to steal my dragons. I caught a bitch. Let's see here. So here's the rub. There was definitely a trick to surviving this particular method of torture. Obviously, rationing what little food and water you were given and finding something to keep yourself from going batty were givens, but your fate really relied on your keeper and whether or not the people on the outside would continue to care for you. If they forgot about you completely, you were doomed to spend the remainder of your short life entombed with only the spiders and cobwebs to keep you company, unless you were a nun and then you were a murd with a young kid. Then the two of you could play Parcheesi or whatever until the food ran out. So, yeah, that's the practice of immurement.
Wow. How horrible.
Pretty interesting. And something I'd never heard of before. I just happened upon an article about it, and I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Wow.
Well, one of the stories you talked about, the Canterbury Ghost, one of my favorites.
Oh, really?
Oh, I love that story, and I love the movie.
Yeah.
The old one, the 1930s, 1940s.
Oh, one. I've never seen that one.
Oh, it's so good. Wow. Oh. What a horrible thing to do to people.
What a way to go.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why would you elect to have that done to you?
I don't know. And how terrible to have a child in there with you.
Yeah. Well, and a child who's a gift to the church.
Right.
Really? Like, your parents can't care for you? Or your parents just want you to become a nun? Or a monk? Or whatever. And are like, yeah, so Jimmy, Susie, you're going to live at the convent. And you're like, well, you know, maybe this won't be so bad. You know, I'll just go and live at the convent. And then one day somebody is like, so you're being immured with Sister Whoever today for approximately a decade. So, yeah, you got that to look forward to. Ugh.
Horrible.
Horrible and creepy. Like, why?
Yes. Mm. Interesting, though. That was a good one.
Yeah. I will continue to strive to bring interesting and creepy content.
Good.
There's definitely no shortage of it.
No, that's good.
I think next episode I'm probably gonna try to focus on something a little bit more paranormal, but maybe something that also falls into the realm of urban legend or like folklore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So is that it for us?
I think that's it for us. We had a good day.
We did have a good day. We had a very productive day.
Yes, we did.
We've been trying to record two episodes a day so that Miss Mimi can have a week off because, you know, she's off of school now.
Yes, until it's nice.
When? September?
Yeah. Like. Yeah, September 2nd or 3rd.
Yeah, and she's got her kitchen stuff to do, and she's got her house to take care of.
And we have a big party next weekend for my brother, because he got married again, so.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and then my daughter's having surgery on the 26th.
Oh.
So we've got a lot of stuff coming up.
Yeah, lots on her plate.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoy the week off.
You too. And stay cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you guys, if you're, yeah, if you happen to be in a place that it's going to be ridiculously hot, you know, lots of icy pops and
yes, lots of water.
I wish you icy pops and air conditioned rooms.
There you go.
That's my wish for you.
Mine too. Yeah.
So thanks guys for tuning in this week. We will see you next week for more fun.
Yes, we will. All right. See you soon.
All right, and you know, make sure that you don't wind up getting accidentally immured, because that would suck.
That would really suck.
Yeah.
That's a horrible thing to do.
Yeah, so don't do that.
No.
All right, bye guys.
Bye everybody.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode. For more Hauntheads, check out our blog at WordPress. You can find it at hauntheads.wordpress.com. We'd also like to thank you for your iTunes reviews, because your reviews will help us improve, and we value them greatly. You can find our podcast on Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Podbean, Pocket Casts, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Podknife, and Blueberry. And don't forget to send us your paranormal stories or favorite folklore tales. You send them our way, we'll read them on the show. It's awesome. So you can send those to hauntheadscast@gmail.com. Keep listening and stay spooky.